Good morning, everybody. Today is shiur number two. It's the eighth, no it isn't, it's the ninth day of Cheshvan. The topic that we started with last week was, we all know we just came off a series of Yomim Tovim, and what can you do on Yom Tov? What can't you do on Yom Tov? Right? What can you prepare? What could you not prepare? In our Mishnah that we learned last week, which is on Daf Chet, folio 28A in the middle, we were talking about, can you sharpen your knife on Yom Tov? The Mishnah says, Ein mashchizin et asakim Yom Tov. You're not allowed to sharpen, but you would be allowed to. What you remember, you're not allowed to sharpen. What can you do? But you could remove the grease off of it. That was what our Gemara, the Mishnah, said. By the end of the sugya, we reached a very important conclusion, and we noticed something very important. What did we notice, and what conclusion did we reach? So, just to repeat, we saw a very interesting line that said, turn to page Chafchet Amud Bet. Line 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Line 8. Where they, quote-unquote, caught this rabbi who appeared that he was even sharpening his knife. Good morning. Who appeared that he was even sharpening his knife on Yom Tov. And what did he say? They said, what are you doing there? Are you sharpening? Removing fat. He says, no. I'm just removing fat. And he was called out. He's like, dude, you look at your sharpener. He's like, okay, you got me. And then he said something which was, v'chazidi ledate d'lechari d'kavi. You looked like you were sharpening. V'kasavar halacha. That is the halacha. V'ein morin kein. That is in fact the halacha, but we don't teach it. Good morning. We don't teach it to the, wow, you have a big crowd today. Baruch Hashem. But we don't teach it to the masses. Now, I looked it up. How often does that phrase appear in Shas? Halacha?
I don't have so many.
Ein. So I looked up online and I discovered how many times does that concept of halacha v'ein morinkin appears? Seven other times in Shas. 7:17. And I looked through it this morning. It's in many, it's in a whole array. That's in Reuven, I found it in Chulin, I found it in Shabbos, it was in one of the South Kochim Taras. It's found generally around Shas. And again, it's basically, essentially, the whole idea of this really is the halacha, but we're very concerned about something. So the question we have to do that I really want to focus on, of course, is what are we really worried about? I mean, if this is a halacha, think about it. That's halacha. Why are you playing a game here? Right? Meaning, can you sharpen your knife or not? And what in the world is this? How is this connected at all? What's the source? What's the rationale behind it? What are we worried about? What are we worried about? All of that we need to figure out. What I would like to do, and by the way, we went further in the Gemara last week, and that is, what about, are we allowed to show our knife to a chacham? Remember that? So what was the issue with showing our knife to a chacham? So, the rule is, as we learned 2 years ago in Chulin, I think there was only two people around the table, or three people around the table from those days. And that is, the halacha is, if I have a sakin and I'm a shochet, if there's a big Talmud Chacham in the city, I have to show it to that Talmud Chacham. Not because I don't trust myself, but because it's kavod. Kavod Torah. It's proper to deference to the Talmud Chacham. But the issue with doing that is what Nadav said. By showing your knife, it looks like you're doing it for commercial use. Commercial use is problematic. Commercial use. I mean, if I want to privately shacht in my backyard, I'm to show my knife to Talmud Chacham. But the idea of going to a Talmud Chacham to show my knife looks like it's commercial use. Commercial use, of course, is problematic on Yom Tov because it looks like it's for Mecca Chumemkar. And therefore, it would be an issue to bring a knife to Talmud Chacham. That might be the issue. But not because you're not allowed to shecht. You follow? Not because you can't, or not because maybe you can't, although other Rishonim wanted to say, maybe it is a problem. Because you show your knife to Talmud Chacham, the Talmud Chacham, and this is Meiri says this, that what? Wait. Your knife needs sharpening. You might come to sharpen it. May I come to sharpen it? Maybe it isn't for sharpening, since you can't sharpen on Yom Tov. So we saw, according to Rashi, Rashi was not bothered at all by showing the knife to Talmud Chacham because you might come to sharpen it. Rashi was only worried about one thing. Mekach u'memkar, public sale, that's inappropriate to do on Yom Tov. Other Rishonim were said maybe you'll come to sharpen. And we're going to see this is going to be a very important machlokas, as it's going to play out in terms of his sharpening, yes, okay, not okay, why it makes a difference, what's it based on, we'll get there. Okay, that is, I believe, where we left off last week. I actually want to start by going to the beginning of our perek. Please, jump to the beginning of our perek, because there's a very important tosfot there. That's what I want to start with today. Go to Daf, folio 23, Bichav Gilma Mudbeit, it's a Mishnah, Ein Sadim. Here's my question I want to ask you. Can you trap an animal on Yom Tov? Can you trap? Ain't sudden. Can you fish?
Only
okay, sorry, right. Sorry, Tuddy's not fishing. Can you take a net, cast it in the water, and get the fish on Yom Tov? Or can you set up a trap? You want to trap a
cod.
Wow, that was not at all what I was thinking about, but okay, right? Cod, or an animal. What would be an animal that you wanted to trap? A wild cow, right? Or a cow, whatever. Or a goat. A goat. Or a sheep.
Buffalo.
Whoa. I mean, buffalo kosher is a bit of an issue.
The old buffalo jump.
What, we actually, maybe in Edmonton they're familiar with these things, but in Toronto we have no idea what you're talking about.
They definitely are familiar with these things, yeah.
Wait, you don't know what a buffalo jump is?
No. Is that what you
do any of you guys know what a buffalo
are you kidding me?
Jump
you're joking.
Are you guys kidding me?
No, he's serious.
We have no idea what you're talking about. We're not, we don't live in the wild, open Alberta west.
Do you talk about canyons?
Yes, you
we don't live in the west coast.
You actually just have and run buffalo off canyons.
Is it all
yeah, I know
that.
It's where the natives like dress up as a buffalo. One guy dresses up as a buffalo.
What?
And he runs at the head of the... of like the herd of buffalo, and he, yeah, no.
But they lack entertainment.
Just like they don't do it anymore. But like,
and then
have Wi-Fi.
He runs them towards a cliff, and then stops up right before the cliff, and then all the buffalo die at the bottom of the cliff, and then.
And wait, why would you do that for?
And that's the hunting.
So you can eat them afterwards.
And use their pelts. Everyone knows that natives
pelts.
Use their pelts.
What's a pelt?
Rabbi.
I feel like it's
you're
dangerous.
Teepees.
Yeah, it's very dangerous.
How do you become the leader of buffalo?
You're talking about
by surviving
like
enough buffalo
like
jumps.
Why
do you guys not know what a buffalo jump is? Google.
Several
years. Years.
So did you do this on the weekend in Edmonton?
No.
Is it like your Sunday activity?
No.
No, I didn't.
What?
Listen. This is very. I didn't realize that we have people who are experts in hunting and trapping and cod. This is like
chasing buffalo.
And chasing buffalo. Wow. Okay. This is
get woke, guys. Get woke.
Okay. Good. I'm glad. What? Yeah. Listen. He knows what he's doing. Okay. So. So can you trap animals on Yom Tov? So,
maybe.
The question is, what would be the issue with trapping an animal on Yom Tov?
It's malacha.
So the question is, I can shecht the animal on Yom Tov.
Question is,
can I trap it on Yom Tov?
The question is, is this first step a part of Ochel
Nefesh? Right, okay. Is that considered an issue of Ochel Nefesh?
Maybe if your intention is to... eat the trapped animal.
So again, everyone's going to agree that I want to eat this animal today. Everyone agrees that if you're sudding animals and you're trapping them for, next month, right? You're trapping 2,000 cod because you want to ship it out in the fall. Of course you can't do that. That's not what question is that? So our Mishnah says, ain't sudding. Dagim min habraim min habivarim biyom tov. You're not to trap. This is a very odd word. This is some type of pool of some sort, right? Not to trap these fish. However, inosin v'nei mezonos aval tzadin chayav of min habivrin v'nosin v'nei mezonot. Our Tanakhama says no. You would be able to make a distinction in these two different locations. What's the difference? How come one location would be permissible, one location is not permissible? What's the difference between them? What, Isaac?
I'm saying it's either fish or animals.
Oh, wait a second. So fish is the difference between... What's the difference? I don't understand. One's fish, one's an animal. What?
The fish.
So do you think it'd be even easier? What's the shechita by fish? Motzion kachi shechita. The moment you take a fish out of the water, that's a shechita. Right? So how come when it comes to fish, why ain't tzarim dagim? But I would be allowed to be tzare chai or an oaf. And then quickly, Mishnah says, Rashbag says, no, not, they're all not all equal. And then finally there's a principle that says, there's a very Isaac law, kol ha-mechusar tzeda aser, ve-she-mechusar tzeda mutter. Whatever is lacking tzeda, what does it mean lacking tzeda? So here we take a look at the first Tosfot in this parak. Take a look. Let's read together. Ein Sadim. Pirush Rashi. Da'afa gavdochol nefesh mutter. Hainu davka kigon bisho va'afia v'shchita. Rashi says, ochol nefesh is permissible. Now, what is ochol nefesh? I'll tell you. One, cooking, bisho, afia, baking. Three, shchita, shachtin. And now here are the keywords. D'i, efshar, me'erv yontov. These are, now, I have a question. What do you mean, e efshar, me'erv yontov? What, I can't shecht on erv yontov? Well, of course I could. I can't cook on erv yontov. We do it all the time. I guarantee you many of your family members did. Well, no one here shechted erv. I mean, maybe you did, I don't know. But I guarantee you that you all cooked before yontov.
So evidently we shechted fish.
Yeah, keep going. Buffalo jumped.
You might don't get it.
Just say, is there a fish jump?
Wait.
There's a fish jump also. Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. It's called the salmon run. Right?
There may have been concern about the trapping the implant body because someone might come and think that, well, then you're going to do some fish and you catch it right before the body and you might have a problem. So
what could be, so again, if all of a sudden we're saying, so what does it mean, E.F. Shah Sotmiyata?
Oh, we spoke about this.
So what is it? Remember, again, Karen, what is E.F. Shah? It can't mean E.F. Shah. I mean, you can't. Of course it could.
It could be that it'll go
So it could be I was tarud?
It'll go bad by the time.
Okay. So it could be, it could go bad. So if I shecht, so we live in a world of preservatives and refrigeration. So my question is, can you still cook on Yom Tov today? After all, I could do it. We all go to Sobeys. We all go to bakeries, right? You buy them on Erev Yom Tov. You eat them the next day. No one feels, oh my goodness, if we don't cook today and serve it for lunch, it's going to be bad and terrible. We live in a world of refrigeration. We live in a world of... But don't we, right? So but we're not cooking Yom Tov? Very... So what does it mean, E-F-Shar? I want to, with the defined E-F-Shar, that's going to help us a lot distinguish between what's permissible and what's not permissible. Let's continue. The Yoter Tov Patchama. Isn't this interesting? Isn't this fascinating? Yoter Tov. How many people have ever had fresh bread, literally baked, and you eat it right away?
Oh, yeah.
Isaac, have you ever had that before?
Yes, sir.
Fresh bread. Mama's baked, you eat it right away.
Yeah.
Yes?
Yes.
Yeah, you have. I know that on Tisha B'Av, what we like to do is that you just like these bread machines. We have a bread machine. So Miriam puts the ingredients in, you know, I think it takes about 2 hours in a bread machine to make. She puts it in 2 hours before the fast ends so that when the fast ends, you're literally having fresh bread. Right? Yeah, the whole house, you know, it's a good chapa. Huh? So, now, some people, same idea. You make bread. I don't know if families bake challahs. And then you literally finish the challah. But again, that's only good for Friday night. That's not going to be for Shabbos day. I mean, unless it's Yom Tov. Right? So there's no question. There's something about... But isn't that interesting? Wait a second. But if I were to ask you in Hebrew, E.F. Shar means?
No.
No. But now, Vasan Rashi says, Yoter Tov. Those words are not the same. You hear what I'm saying? Right? It is Yoter Tov. It's better versus it's E.F. Shar. Impossible. What do you mean EF? Those are not the. What you tell me, EF Shar is the same as Yoter Tov. Like, imagine, you know, the words aren't the same. So, how come? What is Rashi saying? It's better. Okay, it's better. A lot of things are better. But it doesn't mean you're allowed to do it. Right? It's better to have fresh bread. Okay, but does that mean we can do it? Very. V'gam bishul b'yom tov v'shchita shema yasriach. If I shecht meat a few days before Yom Tov, yasriach, it could become like nasty. Good. Here we go. Avot seda trapping ev charlotte sodo merv Yom Tov. I can trap it. V'nichei b'mayim. Obviously, what's that referring to? Fish. And what can I do with it? So if I trap, I set up my fish nets. And I trap them. And they are in my b'mitzudaso. And they are remaining in my trap. So I set the trap out. They've now been trapped. I could do it before Yom Tov. And they're sitting there in the water, trapped. V'lo yamut. And they're not going to die. That now, Tosfot there is quoting Rashi. Rashi is telling us very clearly what appears to be the parameters. Right? Now, we don't understand a couple things. Because Efshar and Yoter Tov seem to be very odd language. But Rashi tells us, as quoted by Tosfo, that trapping already is too far. Because I can throw my nets out a couple days before, have my fish ready to go into the water, my fish are there, and grab them. Yes?
Where did you set your net out before and then the fish get caught on Yom Tov? Or you don't know when they're caught?
Oh, yeah, you're saying, I put my trap out traps? 4 days before, 3 days before. So 3 days before.
And then you check it on after, oh, there's fish.
Right, okay. That's an excellent question.
The trap's going to catch fish. Like, it's going to constantly be catching fish. It's
I'm saying, like, do you have to close your trap before you come to...
They get caught on the side of the coast.
Talk on with the wind.
Like Midoraisa? For sure not. Meaning, I have a trap out there. How does it work with a trap for fish? I guess you have to close... No, if you have a net...
then it's instant. You just drop it.
No, but you without you closing it... They're all going to leave. No? Unless they're really dumb. Isaac, what happens to fish? You're like an expert on all things animal.
But a lot of fish will swim back up.
What happened?
A lot of fish won't swim back up the streets.
Oh, you're saying once they're caught, they're like...
On the spaces in between, but they're trying to do
that too.
Fish will die. 3 days in the net, they'll die.
He just says that like it's so obvious.
You're probably right. I just don't think that you actually know that from experience.
Were you a fish in the past life?
No, it was a buffalo. Okay. So hold on to the idea of do we have to... If we don't know when some... If we're going to say trapping is us, and we know we have 10 fish, we know that some are caught before and some are caught on Yom Tov, but how you have to deal with that is going to be a separate issue.
Wait, is trapping us or Daraisa? Oh, then it's...
Okay, Isaac's question is a very important question. Let's say we conclude that Sadin is Efshar Lasot Merav Yom Tov. What happens if you do it? Is that a biblical violation? Or is that rabbinic? Meaning the rabbi said, don't do it. But really, mean a Torah, you could do it. Excellent question. We're not there yet.
Okay.
Good question. We're going to see the limud. We're going to get to that today. Yeah, we will. Let's continue. In the Tosfot, please. V'lonihira comes along Tosfot and says, no, sorry. K'de mefarish b'reish mechiltin. Okay, what does this mean? Gzera shema yitlosh. The ain lechalek be'ochel nefesh ben efshar lasot merav yom tov leefshar ela davka b'machshirin yesh lechalek lekach. Comes along Tosfot and is going to have a fundamental machloket that I'm going to need to explain here. Says the Tosfot the following. For Tosfot, there is no difference between that you're able to do and what you're not able to do, meaning between Efshar Laso Me'erev Yom Tov and Efshar Laso Me'erev Yom Tov and Efshar Laso Me'erev Yom Tov, except for Machshirin. Now, what is Machshirin? Machshirin is something like sharpening. Right? Preparation. This is, what are you talking about? So preparation here? Right? Meaning, let's say you don't have any fish. If you need to fish, go take out your net maybe, and maybe you'd be allowed to do it. I mean, it's not for Yafshar Lasso. It's all about if you machshirin, if you couldn't do it for whatever reason, if you need to do it, you need to do it. If you're stuck. For Rashi, Rashi is all about the quality of food. You follow? Rashi says, wait a second, could you cast your net? Meaning, will the quality of food be ruined if you fish today?
No.
Well, of course not. Will your quality of fish be ruined if you trap the fish and left them in the water? No, because at the end of the day, you pulled the fish out of the water today. But you should have done the trapping 3 days ago, 2 days ago. The fish are, well, I guess according to Isaac, it can't be more than 3 days, right? So it's going to be 2 days ago. Meaning, since you could have done it, and your quality of food will have zero impact, if your quality of food will have zero impact, you cannot do it on Yom Tov. Dash with an Erev Yom Tov. Because your quality of fish, let's hold by Isaac. Isaac is saying, if for the past 72 hours your fish has been sitting around swimming, but it's been trapped, it's just as good as if you did it today. If it's just as good as you did it today, says Rashi, you can't do it before. Why? Because that is Efshar Laso Erev Yom Tov. That's Efshar Laso Erev Yom Tov. Then you can't do it on Yom Tov. Because for Rashi, it's all about the quality of food. If the quality of food will not be compromised, then you can't do it today. Then you have to ask Isaac, because he's the expert. So then it will depend if it's suffered deraisa or it's suffered derabanan, maybe. Right? Is this a deraisa issue or is it a derabanan issue? That's one way, perhaps, to figure out what we need to do. But I think what I wanted to show you here is that for Rashi, it's all about your quality of food. And he says it black and white. It's about food. I don't know if Rashi would like to cook. Maybe, right? Rashi, for Yom Tov, is all about food. But I'll tell you why, this makes life very easy. From a halacha perspective, you're going to see Shitas Rashi is going to be very clear. Tosfos says, I don't understand. What are you talking about quality of food? I don't care about quality of food. Could you not do it? Is this machshirin? Is hunting machshirin? Hunting machshirin, so why not do it? If it's mutter, it's mutter. If it's not mutter, it's not mutter. But if machshirin ochel nefesh is permissible, so it's permissible. Okay, so I think that's what I wanted to highlight in this Tosfos.
Why would that create a distinction for hunting? If you caught that animal day before versus today,
so Rashi is going to say that would be forbidden. Let's say you were tarud. Let's say you were busy. Let's say you were this. Let's say you realize. Let's say you wake up Shabbos morning. Yom Tov. Sorry. You wake up Yom Tov morning and you need fish. You're like, oh my goodness, I have no fish. You check your bathtub or whatever it is. I have no fish.
Fish in the bathtub.
Right. No fish in the. So could you go out now? You can't. How are you going to get your fish? So what do you want to do? You want to cast your net to get fish. You're not allowed to, says Rashi. Why? Because that you needed to do before Yom Tov.
That doesn't explain why you're allowed to trap the animal Yom Tov.
Okay. So the question is, why would you be allowed to trap an animal on Yom Tov?
No practical difference. The animal degrade
okay.
While it's in the trap.
There's not going to, the quality of the animal is not going to be impacted if it's sitting in a trap for a couple of days.
I would say it's more so for an animal on land than an animal on fish. That land animal, if it's stuck, if it's not eating, if it's not drinking for 3 days.
While it's in the trap.
Isn't that another issue? Anyway, you can't feed animals that aren't yours, then you have to find
the real question comes, what if you have two sheep in the same corral, and you want to kill the first sheep on one day and the second sheep on the next day? The first sheep, if it sees the blade, or the sheep you want to kill the next day, if it sees the blade, the meat will be tainted.
What? Literally,
are you guys kidding? Sheep, the meat will be tainted because the animal has seen the blade.
What are you talking about?
So then the quality of meat, the quality
what
of
what are you talking
meat,
about? Was it just me? I didn't understand what he said. The sheep doesn't see a blade.
If the sheep sees the blade, the quality of the meat is tainted.
Where do you get that from?
It's afraid. You want that fear in the meat?
He's not wrong.
This is known. What do you mean? This is known. You don't want
if the animal is
afraid,
the meat will be worse.
Worse meat, tainted.
Worse meat, 100%.
Why would I compromise my quality of meat?
Hundo piece.
What would Rashi have to say about that? Because what would Rashi
agree on something?
We're gonna need a bolt to
it's just like buffalo tusks.
What? Wait a second.
Well, just sheep somewhere else.
A sheep sees a blade of meat and the quality of meat is ruined?
This is true. But the animal's afraid when you kill it, the meat will be worse.
That might scare
the muscles tense up and the meat is less,
tender.
Tender.
That's chill.
True. And the muscle stays tough forever.
I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. I guess. Okay.
Let's go.
Wow. Okay. Let's look at the first.
How big a back?
Let's look at the guys. Let's look now at that first Rashi. I should have done. Truly, should have probably done this first. What?
Oh, that's sweet.
What?
Oh no. All right. Can we trap this?
Can you trap a spider on Yom Tov?
Can you trap a spider on Sunday?
Absolutely.
Does anybody have fly?
Catch it in the box.
No, it's going up.
No. That's authentic food.
Okay, it's making Aliyah, huh? Okay. Now, look at the first. Look, it's a Zionist spider. Okay, look at the first. Okay. Let's look at the first Rashi and this parak to see it in its totality. Here we go. Again, Tosafot quoted it, but I want to see it completely. Ava gav deshchita v'afiyav bisham avot melachot hein hutru l'tzorach yom tov. Taima mishum she'iyashar merv yom tov deshchita chayish lemechmar bisra. Because if you do the shchita, we're concerned that your meat will be poor quality. Pen yis chameim v'yasriach aval tzei de'eshar l'tzodu mibor yom v'nechenev b'mitzirato b'mayim v'loyim v'lemachar yitle. Okay, basically Tosafot quotes Rashi verbatim, and again, Rashi's highlighting it's all about the quality of food. If the quality of food will be ruined, then you could do it on Yom Tov. If not, has been done before. Yeah.
So this adds in the freshness thing.
No, so
Rashi's is going to get ruined. This says.
Well, so the, yes. So the line of Yoter Tov Miparchama.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. So I actually. Yes, I agree. So the truth is, I actually have that in brackets in my Gemara.
Gears of Ration.
So Tosafot adds that in, meaning Tosafot seems to justify why is it the Rashi is saying allowed to bake? It appears to me. Meaning, I think that's obvious. Everyone agrees that Paschama is better. You ever understand? I mean, that's like almost, quote-unquote, almost obvious. Beer chedesh or the fish. Answer is, well, I'll tell you, Rashi says, you can have fish swimming around traps for a couple of days. He just said himself, 3 days maybe is no good. But for a couple of days, that'd be okay.
No, but Rashi doesn't say that it's better if they're fresh. He says that it's going to get ruined because of the heat.
Like, not just, like you're saying...
Oh, you're saying not just fresh, you're saying ruined.
Yeah. Rashi doesn't say anything about being fresh. He just says, like...
Ruined.
It's going to get warm, it's going to warm up, and it's going to... Yeah, it's going to spoil.
It's ready to get moldy.
So, excellent Hara.
Or maybe Tosafot had a different gear. So.
You get my own.
So, excellent, excellent comment. I believe. Everyone hear Isaac's question? Isaac makes a very good point. Isaac is saying that based on this Rashi, it's all about ruining the food. Tosafot seems to imply it's about enhancing the food. Right? There's another Rashi.
We're not going on strike, please.
We are?
We're not.
How do you know?
I don't.
I heard you are.
Squid?
Squid.
Okay, Isaac, hold on to excellent question. I can get back to you. Yeah, no, it's an important point. Okay, let's go back to our Gemara, and I want to see the source of everything. That was actually the main highlight for today. So let's go back, please, to Daf Chaf Chet. I'm with that. Here we go. I'm a Rav Yosef. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 lines. I'm a Rav Yosef. Sakin sha'amda muta l'chad rabbi amtav. And he says, Rav says straight out. Yeah, you need. There's a knife that is slightly is blunted. You need to. You can sharpen on yamta. V'hani miluhu to paska gavduchka. Right, and it is. We're talking about a situation that it's only if it's totally what's it called dulled. That's an issue. But if it's just a little bit blunted, that perhaps would be to do a little bit of. You know, you want to touch up your knife. That would be permitted. So Rashi says, why? Look at Rashi, please. No. Just tircha yatera. Meaning, again, we see from Rashi, really, technically, you could take a knife that totally is blunted and sharpen it. But again, tircha yatera. It's not yom tov like. It's tircha yatera. So again, not because efshar and yamtav, it's just not, just like you can't do things on Yom Tov that appear to be Mecha Chumemkar, that appear to be Tircha Yetera, that again, the Chachamim wanted to preserve the sanctity of Yom Tov. And they felt that if you would be engaged, in, even though it's permissible, by the way, halachically, midoraisa, it's permitted to take a knife that was totally blunted and to totally sharpen on Yom Tov. What's the reason why you can't? Explains Rashi, Tircha Yetera. It's too much work to do on Yom Tov. It's not what we want you. So you want to eat? I can understand you got to eat, but to take a knife, to take it from 1%, to take it to 100, is just going to take. It's exerting. Remember, this is exerting effort and schwitzing and grinding and this. That's just way too much work to do on Yom Tov. It's not gonna. Not what we should be doing. But take a knife that's already at 70, you gotta get it to 100, fine. That's one. That's okay to do.
So what's that minimum base?
I don't know, I made
65.
Whatever it is, right. Yeah, I don't know, I made yeah. Those numbers are just throughout there, right? But I want to show you that's the distinction. Okay, fine, let's go on. Darash Rev Chiyavi Sim Rav Yosef. Echad Sakin Shinivkama, Vechad Shapu Shinirtsam, the Echad Grifa Tanov, Karan Biyamtov. All this is based on, meaning it doesn't matter if it's a knife, it doesn't matter if it's a shapu. Shapu is like a shish kebab spear. A skewer. Thank you, a skewer. Right? Or it doesn't matter if it's the idea of, if you have you have to fix your oven. Right? Your oven, your stove needs to be, you have to remove, you have to clean it out. You have to, you know, like, you know, to do during Shabbos, right? You want to, what's called guifat ha'tanur. It's covered in like coals and soot, and you want to improve like the ashes and improve your ovens, right? All that stuff you're allowed to do. It's a fitness machloket. And here we go. This, my friends, is crucial. This is the linchpin for what you can and cannot do. The Tanya, ain bin yom tov l'Shabbos. There's nothing different to yom tov and Shabbos, by the way. This is a Mishnah in Megillah, and the Mishnah there point, well, not the Mishnah. Now, this is talking about positive things. Negative things, we know there are differences between Yom Tov and Shabbos. Right? There's only what's the negative things that are different about them? Yeah, I think I even said this last week. What's the difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov?
That
when it comes to Yom Tov, what happens if you transgress a
malacha?
What do you chayav? Malchus. It doesn't matter if you do 7 malachos or 1 malacha. Only 1 malchus. Hashem came by Shabbos. For every malacha that you violate, you get a different, it's misa. Or, if you get a shogeg, you have to bring a different korban for every malacha. Right? Okay. The only distinction of Shabbos Yom is something called ochel nefesh. Right? Ochel nefesh is the distinction. Now here we go. Rav Yehuda Matir Af. Machshirei ochel nefesh. Rav Yehuda even allows machshirei ochel nefesh. And how do we define machshirei? Anything that
you couldn't do before?
So again, just a statement. What's a machshirei ochel nefesh? Anything that needs to prepare for ochel nefesh. So what's preparing for ochel nefesh? Sharpening, right? No, blasting. Why? Blasting up a fire pit or a stove in order to get the iron, in order to make a knife, in order to. But how far back do you go? Right?
Yeah, isn't there a line? Making the world.
What are you referring to? Drawing a line?
like where in the process you can actually do
so that. Isaac is referring to, I think, b'tziat the pot of making the bread. What's the line, right? It's not going to be
for pies.
Well, I'm allowed to make bread on Yom Tov, right? How far back can I go in the bread process? Can I do borer on Yom Tov for the bread, right? I'm Harisha, I get it, right? That's not going to work out. Can I do, what point in time is it Lisha? Is it what can I do? Can I knead on Yom Tov, right? What's that stage that I need to find, or is it objective? Is it subjective? Is it depends on?
I thought there was a line.
Yes, there is a line. And halachically, they will better be machlokas too, with exactly what the line will be. But it's more important is what, why is there a line? What's the idea behind it? That's a machshir echanefesh, right? So here we go. Ma time with the Tanakama. Here we go. What's the rationale for Tanakama? Here we go, everybody. This is the source for echol nefesh and machshir echol nefesh. And this is very important to appreciate the rest of what we'll be discussing. Here we go. Hu levado yaseh lachem. Where's this found? What's the context? Where's this pasuk? Where's this pasuk found in the Chumash?
What?
Where's this pasuk? Who levado yaseh lachem? What is going on in Shmos Yobayz? What's the context? Achodesh azeh lachem. And what? It's the end of all that. Bnei Yisrael are about to leave Mitzrayim. Parsha's bow. And Hashem is telling them, guys, it's Yom Tov. You need to prepare for the Korban Pesach, right? It's Yom Tov. They're leaving. And he says, okay, I want you to know something. Who levado yaseh lachem? Tanakama says, v'lo machshirav. Who? Rabbi Yehuda Amir Kara. No, lachem, lecho, tzarchichem. So each one, Tanakama says, who levado? Only. You want food? Only that, and nothing else. As opposed to lachem, for you. Anything that you need. Any tzorach that you need, even machshirim. V'tanakama ha'ksiv lachem. So what do we learn from the word lachem? Amar lachahahu, lachem v'lo linochrim. When the Torah says lachem, it doesn't mean for everything that you need. It means you could only do ochel nefesh for Jews. But for a non-Jew, you would not be allowed to cook. And we know this is a famous halacha. You're not allowed to cook on Yom Tov for non-Jews. Which is a big issue if you're, let's say, you have a nanny who eats lunch with you on a Tuesday. You cannot cook for your nanny. You cannot cook because you're only allowed to cook for a Jew on Yom Tov. Or if you have guests that are non-Jews, you're not be allowed to cook for them. It's lachem v'lo l'nochrim. Right? V'idach. What about if, what? Idach, Nami, Haksiv who? Yeah, but I understand. But the word who seems to say that it's coming to limit. Amar lecha ksiv, who v'ksiv lachem v'lo kasha. I could learn the word who and lachem to limit and to expand. How? Kan b'machshirin she'efshar la'soton me'erev Yom Tov. Kan b'machshirin she'efshar lason mirav yomtov. Says, you know what I can learn? I can also learn the idea of expanding, but also limiting my expansion. How? Rabbi Yehuda says, I'll tell you how. Meaning, Tanakama, I understand how I can limit my expansion because you can cook. Yeah, lachem, but l'nochem. For Rabbi Yehuda says, I can also learn that I can expand, i.e. machshirin, but not all machshirin. I'm going to limit my expansion. How am I limiting my expansion? Based on Efshar and Efshar, i.e., just like Tanakama learned, it's an expansion of Lachem, but only for who? I.e., Lachem Lo Lenochrim. For Rabbi Yehuda, he's going to learn that what? You're allowed to do Machshirim, but only on condition that it is Efshar Laso Amir Yom Tov. I.e., Rabbi Yehuda's going to hold, if it is Efshar Laso Amir Yom Tov, you're not allowed to do it. Now my question is that a deraisa? Or is that the Rabbanan? What does it sound like to you? What does it sound like? Because it's a pasuk. Now we gotta be careful. Is that always the case in Gemara? Not always. Is this just an asmachta? Or is this mamesh? If Rabbi Yehuda permits machshirin, he will not allow lachshir achol nefesh v'z iavshar lasor merav yom tov min haTorah. So that which case, if it's a safek, it would be aser. If it's a safek because it's in the derabanan, perhaps it could be mutter. So it's going to be very important: is this deraisa or derabanan? Okay. Okay, that really, from our purposes, the next part is just the tangential part that actually deals with the muksa. That really is the end of the main part of our sugya. Now, what I want to do, let's go see Rashi, please. Over. Which Rashi do I want to see here? Okay, go to, you see Mutar L'Chadra B'Yom Tov? Right, on the Rashi that says you're allowed to sharpen it on Yom Tov. V'afa gav d'mi etmo u'meshosho mitchil l'kalkel. So, listen, we all know that knives don't become blunt in a second. You already see it's becoming ruined. Right? You dropped it or you just shucked it a lot, right? L'kalkel. V'leila d'lo havilei la'asuke ad atim etmo. Disavir lo tzrichana, ava nivkema miatmo lo have shari demucha kilku shela vehule lemeibad miatmo. Rashi here is going to make a very interesting distinction. When are you allowed to sharpen? When might you be more likely to sharpen a knife? So yes, perhaps over the past few days it's become a little blunted. And you knew about it. But what do you keep on thinking? As a male, I got more time. Right? Yeah, okay, I can still get in a few more. Right? So something like that, you could sharpen it up. Because you really, it wasn't like you didn't do it. It wasn't like Efshar Mesmer. Like, it was fine yesterday. Okay, I can still get in more. Rashi, if something like that, I thought you'd be allowed to sharpen it up too. One might perhaps be an issue. It was mamish pugum. You dropped it. It was blunted. It was kind of crap, whatever it is. The lo havishare was, you couldn't use the mechucha kilko shala. It was totally kilko that you didn't do. You knew about it and you said, oh, wait, for Yom Tov, that would be a problem. So, an interesting distinction that he makes here, if you really, really think that, yeah, you can still do it, that would be an example of something which, and you're shocked now that you no longer have a knife. That would be an example of something which you could even do, because that's not, that's, why Yefshar Metmo? Because, from your vantage point, it was totally fine yesterday. So why would you have to sharpen it? You think you can get in a couple more shechs in, then you realize on Yom Tov, oh no. So that would be okay to sharpen Yom Tov. But if it, you knew it fell the day before, it got dented, dude, you could have done it. You knew you were going to run into trouble. Don't say, I have more time. Listen, it's Yom Tov. I have much more time on Yom Tov than I have on a work day. So I'll do it on Yom Tov before I'll sharpen. That would be a problem. Yeah, question.
But if you drop it on Yom Tov, that's fine.
If you drop it on Yom Tov, it'd be fine, right? Right. And by the way, here's another thing. People did not have more than one shechti knife. Right? It's very expensive. Right? Again, obviously, if you did, then that's what you should be doing. Right? But I think that's a given that we're talking about a case where a guy only has one shechti knife. You could. Be careful. Butchers didn't shecht. Butchers had carving knives. But I think in those days, everyone did their own carving and cutting, right? The shechita was much more of a professional type of activity. But cutting and butchering, I think every wife did that. That wasn't necessarily every wife. But I think that was much more common to be able to do. The good ones, yes, the good ones, right? It wasn't as nearly as much of a skill. It was much more acceptable to do. Okay. I'm trying to think what makes the most sense to do now with only a couple of minutes. Okay, here's what I want to do. There's one... there's another major sugya where this is going to come up as well. Can you do a bris mila on Shabbos?
Yes.
Yes.
The answer is yes. How far are you allowed to go? Can you do machshirei bris mila on Shabbos?
Yes.
Yes.
What?
Preparation.
Can you prepare? Okay. That's the sugya. So bris mila is... Oh, yes. Can you sharpen a bris mila knife on Shabbos?
Yes.
Yeah.
Surely.
Yes.
Can you carry a bris mila knife on Shabbos?
No. Yeah. Well, yeah, you have to carry it.
No.
What do you mean? The day before Shabbos, I come before, to Shul. Forget it. Before Shabbos starts, I'm the Moel. I bring my knife. I bring my whatever I need. My brisket, huh? That's a bad joke.
That was good.
You like
that? Yeah, that was good.
You get it? Because it connected to food and it's like, yeah. Oh my goodness. Oh, all in one, right? My brisket to... Brisket. Right? Can I bring my brisket to... Must I? Is a better way of saying it. Of course I can. Must I bring everything that is needed to shul or to the home before Shabbos?
Absolutely.
Because machshirei brit milah is not permitted. Okay, so this is going to be, so what we're going to be doing next time, I'm going to set that makoros, is I also want to deal with machshirei brit milah, see if they're similar and if they're not similar. I want to also spend time dealing with I wanted to do with Isaac's question too about, is it about quality of food or rooting food? And that's going to be a very big issue that I want to let to deal with a little bit more, because then eventually I want to get to halacha lemaisa, because this will be very important. For example, everyone deals with showering, and I deal with how far back do you go, right? How far back do you go? Why is it there? Why is it not there? What might be the machlokas? So believe that I'm going to send out sources in the next few days. And in 3 minutes is going to be a shiur given by Rabbi Friedman on introduction to malachos. I believe that was the moment. I don't think I made that up. That's right. Okay, gentlemen, shkoyach everybody.
I think it's Rabbi Zirin.
The shiur at 11. Oh, sorry, I apologize. Rabbi Zirin.